I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Welcome in, everybody. It's another Monday. It is October the 12th, 2015. Brad Locke here with W. Derek Russell.
Brad Lockie.
Locke.
E.
Locke.
E.
Now, there's a quarterback for somebody, college quarterback, whose last name is Lockie, but It's L-O-C-K-I-E. So that's how you pronounce Lockie. That's Lockie.
That's Lockie.
L-O-C-K-E is a lock. I have the pretentious silent E in my name.
He said it, not me.
Well, you know.
How you doing?
Good. I'm all right.
How was your weekend?
Kind of busy.
Yeah?
You got a baby and all. You kind of stay busy with that. But I did have time to catch The Walking Dead last night. Don't know if you're into that show.
We had this discussion yesterday.
Oh, yeah, we did. You're still trying to catch up on last season.
Unless you're just setting up for... I'm always a season behind.
Well, I guess I can't say anything about it then, can I?
You could say it's not a very good show because that's the way I feel about it.
This one started out... This episode's pretty good.
Okay.
The season's got some promise to it.
Not my favorite. But
yeah, it's okay. I mean, it's no Breaking Bad. Let's be real. But nothing is.
No. A few things are.
Yeah.
There was some football, but none of it was that terribly interesting.
No, you had MSU beating up on Troy University, the men of Troy. And you had
Ole
Miss.
Helen of Troy?
Huh?
Helen of Troy.
Pretty much.
Okay.
I don't know. Ole Miss beating up on New Mexico State. The Aggies of New Mexico State, winless still. So, yeah, not impressive wins. I mean, but they were blowout wins. That's what an SEC team's supposed to do to those squads is blow them out. So that's
what homecoming's for, win.
Exactly. Now, this weekend, they're both still out of conference, but could be a little bit trickier for the Rebels and Bulldogs. Mississippi State will host Louisiana Tech. Decent team. They've been pretty good the last few years. They're 4-2 on the season. I imagine State will handle its business with that one. Although, notable, they will be facing a former SEC quarterback, Jeff Driscoll, who did not have a great career at Florida. Now he's at La Tech.
The more interesting game to me out of all this was not played in Starkville or Oxford this weekend, but Tupelo on Friday night that didn't kick off till 9:20 p.m.
Yeah, the Tupelo-South Haven game.
I still don't know what... They did have the homecoming presentation at halftime.
Apparently, they still did the...
I was going to say, when did they do the homecoming dance? Did they do it after? Did they still have
the game wasn't over till like 11
I
something.
Know.
I don't know.
And it went to overtime.
It went to overtime. Tupelo lost because, you know, we had those big storms coming Friday. A lot of games got delayed. Had a few that got postponed. I think had some played on Saturday. Got one scheduled for tonight. I think it's South Pontotoc and Nettleton tonight. That game went really, really, really late. Tupelo, that was the last game of the night, and we still got it in the paper. So good job by John Pitts and the crew.
Yeah, the whole sports team. Yeah, I just thought that was really interesting. I was sitting at home on the couch, and it was raining outside, and I was thumbing through Twitter and noticed every once in a while it had been delayed another 20 minutes a year, another 30 minutes a year. And it was the same for lots of games around the region. A lot just were end up postponed altogether, but Tupelo held it out. I was just curious what they ended up doing with the homecoming.
Apparently, they still had the normal halftime homecoming court festivities with a bunch of soggy homecoming maids and the queen and whatever.
Man, it was a wet night.
It rained for the parade on Thursday.
It did. Sure did. It rained Thursday afternoon for the parade.
So the homecoming court got rained on twice. It's not easy being popular sometimes.
You mean it rained on their parade?
It sure did.
Oh,
literally.
I'm so sorry.
You
should be allowed to sing after that because that was a pretty bad one.
Nobody
pun.
Wants to hear that. We'd lose
no,
all
but compared
our
to
listeners.
My puns there, that's not
no.
neither here nor there. Hey, we got a lot of news today.
We do.
Monday.
Yeah, let's not forget the Ole Miss. I meant to mention, to me, this is the more interesting game this weekend. Ole Miss at Memphis. Memphis is, guess what, 5-0. Justin Fuente got things working up there.
You did say a couple Mondays ago you expected this to be a tough game for the University of Mississippi.
I mean, it's always tough to go up to Memphis, to the Liberty Bowl. I mean, you could also get beat by Memphis if you're not careful. And Ole Miss, let's be honest, has not played the most inspired football the last few weeks. I mean, again, New Mexico State, that's a blowout you should have. But prior to that, struggled against Vanderbilt, then went down to Florida and got stomped in the swamp. So... Memphis is a legit good team. I mean, they're not one of the Power Five conferences, but they are a good team. Justin Fuente, like I said, doing a good job up there. So that's it's a possible upset. I think Ole Miss pulls it out, but it could be a tricky little game for the Rebels.
I think so.
And we could get some Laramie Tunsil news this week, by the way. We'll keep an eye on that.
We expected to hear something.
Supposedly, going to hear something, some kind of announcement about his status. Of course, he's been held out while they wait for the NCAA to finish looking into him possibly receiving improper benefits. So,
well, if you want more information about both of these games.
Yes, then visit djournal.com, visit our respective Ole Miss and State blogs, InsideMSUSports.com, InsideOleMissSports.com, and the boys, Parrish and Logan, now have a podcast of their own. We have another podcast for y'all to listen to. It's
We were popular enough to spin off.
I guess so.
I think companion. I made that joke already.
It's a companion show, like Fear the Walking Dead. Anyway, it's called Double Coverage, and you can check it out online at doublecoverage.djournal.com, or you can download it via iTunes or Android. Again, it's Parrish Alford and Logan Lowry, our Ole Miss and MSU beat reporters. Parrish covering the Rebels, Logan the Bulldogs, and their podcast will come on the air every Thursday. So that's once a week, kind of looking ahead to what's going to happen this coming week. So look for that this coming Thursday. They'll take a look at the games against La Tech and Memphis. Spent a couple of good years at La Tech.
Yes, you did.
Went to school there for a little while.
They were never the same afterwards. That's what I was referring to.
It was
I guess not. No. But anyway, we got a packed show. I mean, it's Monday, so got some
it
stuff to talk
Monday.
About.
I'm sorry for that.
We got crime reports later on.
That's my jewel on Mondays to look forward to. I get to smile for about 10 minutes and then.
We could just do the whole show on that, really.
Just all crime reports.
If we wanted to, but we're not.
No.
But we could.
But we could. Maybe on a slow news day,
we could do that.
We pull back the curtain and do nothing. But maybe we go live from the prison.
Still say we need to get James on here. Need to get James
on
the
show. You don't know that he hasn't been already.
I was out last week for one show. But, yeah, we got some guests coming on. Going to talk about Jimmy Carter, mm-hmm. the former president. We're going to talk about tax collection revenue.
Do you call him former president? Like, you never hear him. Like, they're still referred to as president.
I think just call him President Carter. I think.
There's a good old SNL sketch, animation sketch back in the day of that were the ex-presidents.
I think I saw that one. It's been a while.
It was always a good one.
Yeah.
Always a good one.
Yeah. Going to get some people in here to talk in just a moment.
First on the show today is one of my favorite people at the Daily Journal, and that's not just kissing up. Features editor Leslie Chris. What was that face for? You made a face at me. Leslie Chris, thank you for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
I'm glad to hear that. Hey, you got to do something cool last weekend, and I have questions about it because I'm interested how this whole endeavor works. You got to meet President Jimmy Carter.
I did.
At his church.
I did.
In Georgia.
Plains, Georgia.
Tell us a little bit about that, because I guess my biggest, there's a phenomenon, and I can't remember the name of it, but when you hear about something for the first time and then you subsequently hear about it a lot after that, you're the third person I've seen to do this in the last few weeks, go to the church and have your picture made with him after his Sunday school class. So tell us a little bit about this.
Well, I think people have been going to visit his Sunday school class for years. You know, just two or three at a time, just drop it in. But since his diagnosis of brain cancer, people have been going by the droves. It's like, oh, this was on my bucket list. I better do it now. And so we were told that the first Sunday that hundreds showed up, that the members walked in and saw and thought, oh, where are we supposed to sit? Mm-hmm. And so they had to have a church meeting, and Jimmy Carter attended, and they were trying to figure out, how can we do this? How can we still have church like we usually do and still allow all these people who love Jimmy Carter, you know, a place? And they appointed a woman named Jan, Ms. Jan, whose last name I can't remember, but she apparently was a retired fourth grade teacher, taught Amy Carter years ago when she was a little girl, and she is a drill sergeant. And so they appoint, Jimmy Carter actually said, let's let Jan handle it. And so Jan handles it every Sunday when he is in town and doing his Sunday school class. And it is a well-tuned process, from people lining up in the dark early Sunday morning to being seated in the church to having pictures made after church.
It sounds like a huge endeavor on their part to be able to allow this.
Absolutely.
But it's a big deal for people to get to do it.
It is. It is for both. I mean, I wondered when we were seated and members started coming in, not only for Sunday school, but for church after his Sunday school class, and, you know, having to basically find a few seats that were left because we visitors had basically filled up the 300-seat congregation sanctuary. It's really cool on their part that they, you know, didn't just say, we're not going to do this, we're not going to put up with this. Yeah. They know people love him just like they do, and so they make it work.
I'm not even going to attempt to announce the name of the Baptist church in Plains because I'm sure I'd massacre it.
Maranatha.
Maranatha. See, I would have massacred it, so good foresight on my part. You had to have a little orientation session.
We did. Before we got up at 5 o'clock Sunday morning and actually had planned to get out there at 8 o'clock because orientation begins at 9, but I decided we needed to get out there earlier. So we got out there at 6:30 and there was already a line, and it was cold and drizzly and dark. And so we stood in line for about an hour or more with people that we didn't know, but that we kind of got to know, and people who shared umbrellas and stories. And then Jan sort of backs everybody up when the Secret Service arrives and you have to empty your pockets and get scanned to make sure you don't have anything you shouldn't have and get seated in the sanctuary. And promptly at 9 o'clock, Jan comes in and holds forth and tells you what to do and what not to do. Basically, don't applaud, don't stand up when Jimmy Carter comes in. Because he doesn't want that. He just wants you to be members of his Sunday school class. And if you don't do what Jan said, you know, there's always a little twinkle in her eye and a wink. But let's just say we did exactly what she wanted us to do.
It's weird to think of not rising for a former president entering the room.
Absolutely.
But then you couple that with the addition of, he did have Secret Service.
He did.
Detail there as well. So it seems like it would be a weird balance. It'd be hard not to stand up.
Yeah.
In that kind of presence. But then he gets up and leads the lesson.
He just kind of walked. He just walked in. I was watching Rosalind Carter, his wife, come in, and she sat two pews in front of me. So my mouth is wide open watching the back of her head. And a cute Secret Serviceman sat down right in front of us. So I knew we really had to behave. And so while I'm watching the back of the First Lady's head, I hear this commotion to my right, and Jimmy Carter has already entered the sanctuary and is just kind of walking around up front and saying good morning to people. Very low key, and two Secret Service guys, one in one corner of the church and one in the other. But unlike the Secret Service men who are with the current president, these kind of smile and let their guard down some. So,
and I mean, I assume he discussed his medical state right now.
He did.
What's going on?
He talked about his, he's had three of four chemo treatments. He was postponing his fourth because he and Rosalind are about to fly to Nepal for several weeks to build 100 sanctuary houses.
How old
Not
is
sanctuary,
he now?
Habitat, sorry. Yeah. He just turned 91 on October the
1st. 91. I'm going to go down to Nepal and build.
Yeah, and you know, when he says he's going to build 100 houses, he doesn't mean he's going to sit around and supervise.
No, he'll pick up the hammer and get in there with it from everything I've seen of him. But you actually, after it's over with, you get to go up and shake his hand and get a photo opportunity with him.
And that's well-tuned, too, because you look around and you see 200 and 300 people, because there's an overflow room, too. Those who were not fortunate enough to get in the line and get seated in the sanctuary get to watch him on a TV in the overflow room. You think you'll be there all afternoon, but it's about a 30-minute process because you hand your camera or your phone to the person who's taking the pictures. And you're supposed to check your phone when you're leaving to make sure the picture came out. If it doesn't, you get back in line. But if it does, you leave the building.
Wow.
And they tell you not to talk to him, but everybody, you know, Jan says, if you're going talk to him on your way up, because if you talk to him and you both are looking at each other, then we'll miss the picture. So I wished him a happy birthday and told him that we share a birthday.
You do. October 1st is both of y'all's. How big is the congregation there normally?
The sanctuary holds 200 to 300,
wow.
250 to 300 people. But when we drove up, I was expecting some huge church.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's a little country church.
So they've definitely been rocked by this whole thing here lately.
Absolutely.
People doing this. How long has this been going on? I mean, did people just kind of...
Probably at least 2 months.
Really?
Because on their website, the church's website, they did have it set up so there were so many people coming that they would have a drive-through on Saturdays. And if you wanted to go to his Sunday school class, you would come in, get a piece of paper on Saturday, and that lets you know that you were going to have a seat in the sanctuary on Sunday. But it has dwindled a little bit. So they don't do that anymore.
It's like trying to get concert tickets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except they're free.
Well, hey, while we've got you here, as interesting as that is, there's another thing I want to ask you about. Going on at Link Center on Thursday, this Ladies Who Lunch program. This will be the second one you guys have done.
Yeah, the second one.
Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, it's just it's a fundraiser, actually. Cheryl Sproles and Susie Sheffield are trying to raise money to buy lighting and sound for the Black Box Theater, which is shared by them and by West of Shake Rack. So they are trying to raise money to do that because Susie and Cheryl have started a theater called Open Stage Theater, and they're going to try to, not in competition, but just to kind of add something in Tupelo. And for the first year, they're going to be doing original plays by Mississippi people, Mississippi mm-hmm. writers, playwrights. But that's the reason for the Ladies Who Lunch. And so it's just, you come at 11:30, it's $15 per person, and that's for a good lunch and dessert and entertainment. And this week's entertainment is going to be Tony Tannehill. And even though it's Ladies Who Lunch, Cheryl Sproles told me this morning that if men show up with $15, they will be welcomed and they can eat lunch too.
Women 15, men $20.
Well, that's a great idea.
That is a great
idea.
That
is a really good idea.
Coined it right here. This is going to happen in Link Center's reception hall.
Correct.
Proceeds going to go towards helping the Black Box, but
correct.
But lunch is going to be in the reception hall on the back side of the building. Is this something every month y'all are planning to do? I know this
right.
is the second one.
It's going
to
be every month on a Thursday. We're just not sure yet which Thursday.
Okay. All right. And what are we going to be eating?
This Thursday, we're going to be eating homemade vegetable soup. Mm-hmm. We're going to have soup and salad and homemade muffins, corn muffins, and homemade pound cake with blueberries for dessert.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get in line today, if that's okay with you.
It'll be good.
I'll skip the soup. Just give me the cornbread and muffins.
I cooked
and
some of it, so I can tell you it will be good.
Oh, I'm sure it will, but you had me at corn muffins and pound cake. I could live on bread alone.
Well, come on, $20.
$20 for me. Now, wait a minute. I came up with it. I don't get a discount.
Well, maybe.
$17.50.
We'll let you know at the door.
Leslie, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Okay, it's Bobby Harrison time. Our Capitol Bureau reporter joining us from Jackson, live via satellite or Skype, maybe. Bobby, how's it going?
All right, I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Bobby, for a Monday anyway. You had a story in Sunday's paper about state revenue collections. Apparently, they're down for the month of September, below the official estimate. What does this mean? Is this something to be very concerned about, Bobby?
Not very concerned about, Brad. Actually, it was not only for the month of September, but, you know, the fiscal year begins on July 1st, so you could view these as also the revenue collections for the first quarter. And when you're talking about state revenue collections, I'm sure all the listeners are going to get excited to even think about this, but it's important because there's two things to keep, two sets of numbers to think about. The first one is comparing year-over-year revenue collections. And, you know, are they growing from the previous year or down from the previous year? And, you know, like most things, revenue collections increase every year with a few notable exceptions. They took a huge, unprecedented dip in 2008, 2009 during the so-called Great Recession. And the second set of numbers to keep in mind, and these are just as important, is the estimate. Now, what the estimate is the legislative leaders at some point, usually late in the legislative session, we get together and take a recommendation from the set of state financial experts, which include the state treasurer, the state economist, and some other people. And that estimate is what they use in building a budget for the upcoming fiscal year to fund everything from education, public safety, public health. And if the state doesn't meet its estimate, then that creates a problem. Now, in September, for just that one month, it was actually pretty startling. And off the top of my head, it was about over 5% below the estimate and over $30 million below the estimate. Now, but for the quarter, it's not quite as glaring. It's less than 1% below the estimate. But if this trend that happened in September continued, at some point, the governor and the legislature would have to make some budget cuts, or they would have to dip into rainy day funds to prevent budget cuts. Now, let me hasten to add that this is just one month. And for the quarter, their revenue collections are just about right on target, a little bit below target, but nothing to be alarmed about. But the September estimate, the September collections were way down. Darren Webb, the state economist, talked to legislative leaders back in late September before this latest set of numbers came out. And he said that over the past few months, he's been concerned about sales tax collection. Now, you know, the sales tax is a 7-cent tax on most retail items, and that's actually the state's biggest source of revenue. It accounts for about 38% of the total of state tax collections, and that has been sort of weak for a while now, and that's usually viewed as the best indicator of the economy. The individual income tax has been, for the most part, has been much stronger, which has kind of kept us from having a much worse collection marks than what we've had so far.
Yeah, the sales tax collections, the state economist you mentioned, Darren Webb, pointed out that the lower fuel prices could be a factor because people may be using the money they're saving to pay off debt and such, maybe build up savings. I mean, gas prices have pretty consistently been under $2 for a while now, so that does allow people to pay off some stuff they've been needing to pay off.
Yeah, well, the point he was making is even more concerning than that, in the sense that our fuel tax is flat. We pay 18.8 cents for a gallon of gas, regardless of what the gas costs. It's not a sales tax, it's what you call a use tax. So whether the gas costs $3 a gallon or $2 a gallon or $1 a gallon, we still pay 18.8 cents per gallon for gas. Now, with the lower gas prices, the point he was making, with the lower gas prices, that's freeing up some income for the consumers, which common sense would be that money would be spent buying more clothes or going out to eat more or whatnot and increasing the sales tax. But he's pointing out that that's not happening. So he's assuming that they're using what he called a fuel tax dividend to pay down existing debt or to put money in savings. I don't know about you, Brad, but my family and I, we seem to spend every dollar that comes into our household. So we're not part of that putting money in the savings group.
yeah, same here, Bobby. Well, you know, you got the holidays coming up. I know Jack about the economic stuff, but people are going to start spending more money on stuff that has could maybe increase the sales tax collections, I would think, which would be a normal seasonal thing, wouldn't it?
Right, and that's true, and hopefully that'll happen. One point here is that the people who make this estimate, who make the recommendations to the legislative leaders, they're on these things, they're a lot smarter than you and I, and when they make the estimate, they factor in what they think would be increased sales tax collections during the holiday shopping months. So that's factored in already into the estimate. In November and December, sales tax collections should spike, and so that's factored in. Another way to look at it, though, is maybe people aren't spending money right now, and so they'll be saving it for November, December for that shopping season, which might make it spike even more.
Bobby Harrison, our Capital Bureau reporter. Follow him on Twitter at BobbyHarrison9. Check out his story in Sunday's Journal, djournal.com as well. Bobby, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Brad.
Well, we've talked some food and entertainment. We've talked some former presidents. Gone to Bobby Harrison and Jackson. Now it's time to put you in the hot seat, Brad Lockey.
Lockey.
Tell us who got arrested this weekend.
Crime reports. Ooh boy.
We need a jail cell closing sound effect for when that happens.
Yeah, Chris can get on that, I'm sure.
I'm on it. After I find Scott's theme music.
It's unfindable.
Yeah. Oh boy. Hey, it was a busy week last week on the old police blotter.
Oh yeah?
As they say. Let's start with let's go to Nettleton first.
All right. That's always some place to go right there.
A Nettleton man said he was letting a female stay with him for a while. Didn't say if they were dating.
It wasn't pertinent to the information.
Apparently
it's
not.
The 90s.
But I don't know. Maybe they were, because he told her she needed to... What?
I got you. It's the 90s, Brad.
I got you.
We don't ask those kinds of questions.
he told her at some point that she needed to leave... And he felt the need to tell her to not take his clothes. She left, but she did take his clothes.
Oh, you see, if he had not said anything, she would have. She was like, "That's a great idea."
Did she leave a note?
No, but it gets. No, actually, she called. She called him after she left and said she's going to cut his truck tires every chance she gets.
What? So four?
I guess.
And then
until he gets new ones, and then
I think he would maybe
four again.
Not get new ones until he resolves the issue of her cutting.
And please give him my clothes back. If he had not said, "Don't take my clothes," she would have left the clothes.
Probably.
It's on him.
Yeah.
Also, he'd let her stay in the house.
Sounds like a country music song.
Probably is. Yeah.
I'm going to slash your tires every chance I get. So four.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to go to the next one. I don't know where this happened.
Nettleton,
somewhere in the county.
For posterity,
a wrecker service employee said a woman came to the shop pretending to be the owner of a car in the shop. When the woman was refused access to the car, she began cursing and yelling aggressively. The tirade continued until the police were called, and she left before the officers arrived.
It's the same lady.
Could be. She
went to get the truck from the guy after she got
after
the tires.
After he went to get him fixed.
Yeah, to get the tires.
And you know what's funny?
She's going to slash him again.
You know what's funny? She probably thought this was really a really clever way to steal a car.
Could be.
She probably...
What if it actually was her car, though?
Probably wasn't.
Could have been.
I mean, the guys at the wrecker service probably come across this kind of situation now and again.
Theoretically, but let's
air... they have to deal with... The wrecker service has to deal with some...
Let's air on the side of, you know... good measure and assume that it's hers.
I don't think so.
Ma'am, if you're listening, head back there. They'll be happy to work it out with you.
Tupelo. This is a good one. A Tupelo man said he was fronted $1,200 worth of cocaine 4 years ago. So you got a little history, a little back, context here.
With cocaine math and inflation, gonna say he's estimated the owed.
Well, he was stopped by police at the time. He was arrested. He did his time in jail. He's out of jail now.
Uh-huh.
Last week, the drug supplier, the guy that gave him the cocaine, mm-hmm. called wanting his $1,200 back.
You can contact the Mississippi State Correction Department for that.
On the plus side, you talked about inflation. He didn't charge any interest.
How did that conversation go? Jim, how are you? How's times? Good to see you. You've gotten buff. You lost some weight. Gonna need that $1,200 back.
I assume the cocaine's gone, so just give me the $1,200 and we'll be square.
Well, I mean, if he got arrested before, then... guessing they confiscated the cocaine.
They probably did. Yeah. So he just wants his $1,200 back.
Well, that's understandable. I mean,
it's been 4 years.
He went out on a limb. He fronted the guy. The guy went down. That's not the dealer's fault.
Exactly.
It's the 90s.
Exactly.
It's my new excuse for everything. Thank you, Chris. I'm going to start using that. Like, why'd you miss deadline? It's the 90s.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, Guntown. We got more adventures in Guntown dating. Mm.
James.
No, not yet. A Guntown man said his girlfriend from Gulfport.
Uh-huh.
That's the first
time
he's dating a girl from the coast.
That's one of those like, I met her at camp.
No.
She lives in Canada.
No. She was up here.
Oh.
She was up here. She used his debit card to withdraw $500 from his account before dropping him off at a store in Saltillo. He thinks she might be headed to the Gulf Coast. Just left him at the store.
I'll be back in 2 hours tops. You just wait here.
Just stay right here. I'll bring your debit card.
Run that by me one more time. He gave her his card, and she took out
$500. She used his debit card to get $500 from his account.
Uh-huh.
She dropped him off at a store. I guess I don't know if she kept his debit card, but he thinks she might be.
Regardless, she got the $500.
Wait,
so
she dropped him off at a store and then just left while he was in the store?
So is this 2 days later and he's
like,
still in the store?
He came out in the parking lot.
I don't know.
And the car's gone.
I don't know if he was going to hang out there a while. Maybe he works at the store. I don't know. But I guess this means the relationship is not headed in a positive direction if she's stealing his money and fleeing to the coast.
It's headed south, literally.
It's like Facebook, the old Facebook relation status. It's complicated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's headed to the casino is what she's doing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Once she runs out with the $500, she'll be back, sweetheart. Don't worry. Yeah. She's got to come back for more money.
Exactly.
You better still be sitting at that store waiting on her, too. She will take every chance she has to slash all your tires.
And then she'll try to steal your car by acting like it's hers. Okay.
I still don't understand I took all your clothes.
I don't know. Like, wear your own clothes. Why don't you have your own clothes?
It's just out of spite. Like, you have nothing to wear. I took all your clothes. Good luck leaving the house.
Maybe she just likes wearing guy clothes. It's the 90s.
It is the 90s. Thank you for that.
Okay. And finally, James, is that you? A County Road 1057 Tupelo woman said an unknown man keeps texting her even though she has asked him to stop.
Oh, James.
Got to be James.
James.
No word on if he's sending any
James,
new,
if you're listening,
picks,
this is your long-distance request. dedication with Delilah. What are you doing, James? I mean, you think you learned your lesson by this point.
So it's just... texting, or it doesn't say what he's texting.
Well, maybe he did learn a little bit of a lesson then.
I'm assuming it's not something she wants to read.
Yeah.
It doesn't say if it's sexual in nature. But
can we just, can we call the cops? Like, people text me all the time that I don't want text to me. Rod texted me the other day. I'm like, leave me alone. I'm at home. I'm just kidding. But it's like, anytime you don't want somebody to text you, is this a police matter?
Yeah. Unknown man. I mean, he just, I don't know. Keeps texting and won't stop. And I'm assuming it's, like I said,
next time you all get me in a group text, I'm gonna be like, leave me alone. I'm calling the cops.
All the stuff that police deal with today, they didn't used to have to. I mean, what they do back in the 80s? I get
we had crank calls, I guess, back then. But
calls. I'm getting letters from people I don't want to get letters from.
Anthrax.
Yeah, stuff like that. I mean, if you're texting,
now it's the 90s. So
if you're a guy texting a woman randomly and she doesn't know you, you're probably not saying things she wants to hear.
There's probably less text back then because it was so much harder to text in the 90s.
It was.
In the late 90s, early 00s.
Well, you had to keep hitting the number buttons multiple times to get to the right letter.
And then it was like 5 minutes in between a message, and then you were in the middle of a game of Snake. On your Nokia.
Pong.
I had that phone. That was my first cell phone, was that Nokia. Oh, yeah. I got it back in about 10, 11 years ago, and it was like a brick.
Oh, yeah.
You could throw it against the wall.
That was one thing. You didn't need cases for those things. No, you weren't worried about it.
You could throw it on the ground. It would break the ground.
Yeah. You could be driving down the road, hanging out the window, talking, and drop it while going 30 miles an hour, get out, pick up the phone, and the person would still be on the other end of the call.
Fine. And I played the heck out of Snake.
Everybody played
Snake. I had no idea what Angry Birds was at the time.
No, there was no Angry Birds.
No, there was not.
James has been plotting this for years. He's waiting for technology to catch up with him. He's a genius.
He really is. Really is. I'm curious to see where he turns up this week. I'm sure he will.
And the fact he hasn't been caught yet is even more amazing.
He's going to become a most wanted.
He's got all these
point.
Burner phones, apparently.
He's like a meth dealer, just burner phone after burner phone. It's crazy.
Fantastic. Yeah. The further adventures of James.
Anyway, you can read about these crime reports and more at tipsheet.djournal.com.
Any fascinating mugshots to come out of the past few days?
Yeah.
Always a favorite.
We had a few. Had this one lady. I think it was on Friday, maybe Friday. That was the 9th, right? Friday the 9th. Yeah, sure. She's kind of looking off to the side with smiling. I don't know. I don't think she's drunk, but it's kind of a drunken smile. She's just looking off to the side like, oh, well, you know, see, what happened was, it wasn't really me that, you know, just like, oh, yeah, I've got a perfectly good explanation for why I got arrested for strong-arm robbery.
Mm-hmm.
Go check it out.
Do you ever just get bored and look at the Lee County Most Wanted list?
I guess I can't say I ever have.
It's very interesting to see who is the most wanted on there.
I should do that.
I'm just thumbing through it right now, as a matter of fact, and some interesting individuals. More than anything, mostly it's bad checks. That's what seems to be the
bad checks.
Yeah, which is like the biggest '90s problem at all. Who still writes a check?
Yeah, I know. I don't if I can help it.
Yeah, I mean, so that's a big '90s issue if you're writing checks and they're bad ones at that.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. Well, that does it for another episode of The Memo. We appreciate you joining us on this wild ride today.
It's the best podcast in the '90s.
Well, we could probably claim that.
It's best podcast of the 90s.
Well.
Why not?
97, at least.
Yeah.
In the TLC era.
Right. Oh, yeah.
TLC Waterfalls. Was before 97. That was like 94.
It was 95-ish.
95. 97 was more like Spice Girls, wasn't it? You had that poster in your room.
No.
You still do.
I did.
We're going to be back on Wednesday with a brand new episode. Always enjoy the little break on Tuesday in between there. Breaks up the week nicely us.
We'll be back before you know it.
Yeah. Of course, with each episode, we want to tell you about Thrive Marketing, which is a full-service digital marketing company located here in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local businesses. I use Thrive Marketing.
You do?
Yeah, I do. We'll be back on Wednesday with a brand new episode. I still got through that, so you can't even get mad at me. You okay over there, Brad?
Yeah.
What's wrong? Having a good day?
I guess.
You can follow at Brad Locke on the Twitter, our producer, and at Chris Kiefer on the Twitter as well. I'm at W. Derek Russell. Follow the memo at D Journal Memo. And of course, you can find all this news at djournal.com and follow us online at D Journal Now. We'll be back on Wednesday with a brand new episode.
See y'all then.